Good morning. God is good. Oh, come on. God is good. And all the time. Welcome to St. John's United Church of Christ. Those I can see and those who are with us online, we're glad you're here today. And welcome you to be with us. We also want to welcome Joy and Tony Burdett. They're back with us to sing today. Singly and together, however you're going to do that. You're going to be sharing God's word and music with us, and we'll appreciate that very much. Just quick through the announcements. Lunch Bunch is this Wednesday, and as you'll notice, you bring your own sandwich and a white elephant. I'm looking at Carol. I got it. Highlighted right there. So if you come, yeah, sandwich and a white elephant. Info for the adult education is over here. Laura left that. The book that they're going to be doing is that Who Needs God by Harold Kushner. I just ordered that. If you remember, Mr. Kushner is a rabbi who wrote Why Bad Things Happen to Good People, same author. I've just started. I'm like into chapter one or two. It is a good book. So if you have time to grab that and be part of that group, that'd be great. On the next page, it's two pages with that announcement. It's about the dart ball tournament lunch thing. Sign-up sheets are up here. I'm the only name up there. I want bragging rights. Somebody needs to sign up to throw darts. Because I have to go to these minister meetings. And there are bragging rights among us clergy. Don't get me wrong. So, but anyway, if you don't play, come. If nothing else, we can fellowship with our fellow United Church of Christ church people and at least know who they are, that we're together in this work together. So all the details are there. Please note that. And then there's this thing that we're going to have Sunday school again for the young people starting on Communion Sundays, and the first Sunday will be in September. And so we, hang on, my alarm's going off there. In September, the first Sunday, and then we'll go through. So please note that. So if you bring younger children or somebody who's not coming, has a younger child, we're going to be offering that as well. So please note that and invite other people. Any other announcements? Are you waiting for an announcement? Are you waiting for me to shut up?
Whatever you want.
All right. You get to move when Michael plays the organ. How's that? That's good. If there are no other announcements, then let us open our minds and hearts in an attitude that allows God's presence to move among us as we prepare to worship God this day. Thank you.
Please join me in the call to worship. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders over mighty waters.
The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty.
The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as King forever.
May the Lord give strength to God's people.
May the Lord bless the people with peace. Let us worship our God. Please join me in the prayer of confession. O God, in the face of much of what life presents, we confess making little headway. When challenge comes our way, we are tempted to shrink back or find excuses. When hardships find us, the temptation is to plead faintness of spirit and give in. When unbidden graces, kindnesses, and forgiveness come our way, we lean into them stubbornly, resisting anything for which we cannot take credit. Find in us an eagerness to test the water of your love, that we may not only confess these things about ourselves, but change them as well. In Christ's name, amen.
Oh, you a little faith, why do you doubt? Hear the good news. Think what this world might be if there were no witnesses to the truth, no workers for peace, no leaders with deep compassion for people nurtured by their faith. You are making a difference. Your wisdom is needed and appreciated. God saves you from your foes, delivers you from your enemies. Find gladness and joy in God's steadfast love. Dearly beloved, believe the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated. The first reading comes from the Old Testament, Psalm chapter 105, verses 1 through 6, 16 through 22, and 45b. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wonderful works, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wonderful works he has done, his miracles and the judgment he has uttered. O offspring of his servant Abraham, children of Jacob, his chosen ones. When he summoned famine against the land and cut off every supply of bread, he had sent a man ahead of them, Joseph, who had been sold as a slave. His feet were hurt with fetters, his neck was put in a collar of iron, until what he had said came to pass. The word of the Lord kept testing him. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people set him free. He made him lord of the house and ruler of all his possessions, to instruct his officials at his pleasure and to teach his elders wisdom, that they might keep his statutes and observe his laws. Praise the Lord. The second reading is from the New Testament, Romans chapter 10, verses 5 through 15. Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law, that the person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart, leading to righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, leading to salvation. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news.
Quiet of this hour, as we kneel before you now, I believe your promise to be faithful. I don't always understand what what your perfect will demands, but I've learned to trust you more. In your presence, Lord, in your presence, there is comfort. In your presence, there is peace. When we seek to know your heart, we will find such blessed assurance. In your holy presence, Lord, there can be such sweet reward when we wait upon the Lord as He takes the time He gives His perfect wisdom that can be found in Him alone. All our deepest secrets known, we're surrounded by His grace. When we seek His face in your presence, there is comfort. In your presence, there is peace. An ever open door to know our Savior more in the presence of our Lord.
Thank you, Joy. Appreciate that very much, setting the tone for the day. As we continue our readings in Scripture, our next one is as we continue our readings in the Gospel of Matthew. We're in the 14th chapter, and we're verses 22 through 33 today. And just to remind you that the first part of this chapter is what we read last week, which was the feeding of the 5,000. So this is a second miracle in a row as Matthew puts them together. So here, the continuation of the story. This is what we call the walking on the water story, when the disciples are in the boat. Matthew writes, "Immediately he made the disciples get into a boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds." And those are the crowds from the feeding of the 5,000. "And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. But by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and they said, 'It is a ghost!' And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, 'Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid.' Peter answered him, 'Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water.' And Jesus says, 'Come.' So Peter got up out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and began to sink, and he cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." May God bless this reading, hearing, and understanding of the Holy Word. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I don't know if any of you have been able to include in your travel plans the Holy Land. I've not been able to do that yet in my life. But I've had clergy friends who have gone years ago and then recently as well. And I remember talking to John Pullman when he took us, because I did 10 weeks when he did vacation and sabbatical back in 16, I think, over at Bromley Church and at Emmanuel. And I asked him, I says, I had read that the Israel's National Parks Authority near Capernaum had built this submerged bridge 2 inches under the water, semicircular, 13 feet wide, 320 feet long, 50 people can walk on at the same time, so you can walk on the water. And initially, when I looked it up online, the initial cost in the project was $4.5 million at the time. That also included lifeboats and lifeguards as well. But if you do that, that sort of defeats the text today, does it not? About this ability to walk on the water. The notion of walking on the water has become this metaphor of the supreme test, so to speak, in our parlance as we talk. It's invoked in jokes. It's sort of a way, this unimpeachable proof for the supreme test of one's power. And that is an accurate understanding of the incident from Matthew, but I want to know how Matthew used it originally to convince the others who were reading these verses of Jesus' authenticity. Did they come to the same conclusion as the disciples that stayed in the boat and worshiped him? And then comes the punchline at the end, "Truly you are the Son of God." I think that's the conclusion that Matthew wants us as the readers to come to as you read this text. So did Jesus actually walk on the water? Well, in this gospel text from Matthew, immediately following, this was the story that follows the miraculous meal. So you have the miraculous meal, you have the miraculous walking on the water. And I think what Matthew's trying to direct us to, he's trying to tell us from his point of view as the writer of this text, who Jesus really is. He wants us to know by sharing these particular stories in this particular order for us. So if you're anything like me who has grown up in the church and then end up serving in the church for years, I don't really need anything to convince me of my faith in Jesus, you know? This is just one of the stories, and whether he walks on the water or he floats in the clouds over Jerusalem, it doesn't really matter to me personally. But it is intriguing to see this story. It sort of suspends the law of physics that we don't understand. It's literally a point, I think, in some ways. But I don't think Matthew's making this the litmus test, the thing that really needs to happen. I think what Matthew wants us to do is, do you understand what's going on here with Jesus and the disciples in this day? And if you totally immerse yourself in the story, how this can become serious in a lot of different ways. Now remember, the disciples are tired. The previous story, as I shared last week, they tell Jesus, "It's getting late. We have nothing to feed these people. Why don't you send them home?" And Jesus says, "No, you feed them." And we end up hearing the story. So after some confusion, Jesus gets them. He finds time to be alone. And the ending of the text last week says he wanted to be time. So that's when this story begins. So when he finally gets that time, he puts the disciples in the boat. He says, "You go out across the Sea of Galilee." And if it wasn't bad enough for these disciples who had to listen to Jesus and force them to feed these 5,000 people, plus women and children, the weather shifts. The text says the wind has blown against us. So all of a sudden it's dark. They probably can't see. They're in there rowing against these waves. You and I can relate to that in a lot of different ways, not just as someone who's been in a boat like that. But we know from personal experience that sometimes we live life pushing against the wind, pushing against something that sort of causes us issue and problem in our day. Going nowhere, losing ground, you know the old adage, one step forward, two steps back. I think that's sort of what's going on with the disciples right here. I'm thinking that's how they're thinking. And it takes enormous energy to maintain one's status quo, to be in that same place. So right in the point when this happens is all of a sudden Jesus appears out on the water. And he says, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Well, then comes this question at this part for me to take seriously. And here's what I thought was important about this text. Do you, do I, do we at our lowest, darkest moments, when we don't think there's anything else to do, do we really believe that God is present? Or is that when we fall back? For me, it would be my German ancestry. I can do this on my own. I made my tie my own boots. Do we do that? Or do we say, God? And that God walks us through this hard moment to a better place of calm and understanding and a way to figure out the issue. When I was taking my psychology classes in college and a few in seminary, sometimes we have to read about Carl Jung, the psychologist, and he said that that's when help can happen, is when that moment that I'm just describing, when that moment happens, that's when help can happen. And he had a Latin phrase above his door. I'm not going to do the Latin because I'm going to butcher it, but the quote is, "Summoned or not summoned, God is present." So whether you call on God or not, God is here. So in those hard moments, so Jesus says, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." I think sometimes it's not just the wind, you know, or some kind of force that keeps us from moving forward. I sometimes think it's a fear that we have within each one of us, of not doing what we think we can do, or we don't trust something that we can do. There's a fear of being alone. There's a fear of being intimate again. There's a worry about not having enough of whatever blank you want to put in there, whether that's stamina or health. Those things are important to me right now. Money, security, faith, all of those things are important, and we want them. So faith is the thing that goes a long way in this story. And I like this story of Peter because, you know, he's the one that always speaks up. And in seminary, I had an old Pennsylvania Dutch professor in New Testament. He'd always say, first of all, he called the disciples Dummkopf and dumbheads in German. And the second of all, Peter had foot and mouth disease because he always speaks before the brain engages. But here in the story, Matthew says he tests his sea legs. He steps out on nothing with nothing but a prayer and a promise. He just jumps out of the boat and he goes. And he falters and he fails. But the point is, he tried. He stepped out the boat. And then Jesus reaches and takes his hand and says, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Now I can imagine one of the other disciples sitting in the boat, how they must feel. There are those moments when maybe I should have said or did, and I didn't, because out of fear that was outside my comfort zone. We all have that. The biggest fear we have is change. For a lot of us in this space, it's about getting older. We're not old people, we're just older. I want you to understand the phrase. We're all getting older. And so that's part of why we think we can't do. You've heard me say 100 times, I can't believe at my age I'm still working as hard as I am. Not that I don't enjoy it, don't get me wrong. But that wasn't in the plan when I was younger. So we don't know what's going to happen to us when we step out in faith. The other thing that I've tried to learn, I think this text is illustrating it, and sometimes I'm just like any other human being on the planet and I forget. But even, that God is present, however you understand God, whether that's in the personage of Jesus or whether that's in the form of the Spirit or it's your understanding of who God is, doesn't matter. But God's not only there to rescue us, because we sing these songs about everlasting arms and we talk about God's saving grace and mercy, but God's also there when you take that risk. And sometimes God is the one who challenges us to take the risk. But then God will save you too, if it doesn't work right. I think sometimes that first step thing. So when I entitled my sermon, A Walk on the Wild Side, no, it wasn't a rock and roll song. No, that wasn't it. But I think sometimes that's what happens to us. We are challenged to take a walk on the wild side, to do something outside of what we are comfortable doing. One of the things that usually isn't as changeable is what we do in church. A lot of churches have done worship the same way they've done it forever, no matter what denomination it is. And if something changes, we get a little warped about that. So we need to think about it. But God is here. The point is that God is here. The foremothers and fathers of this congregation started to worship, to praise God, and to thank God for a place to worship. It went from small to larger to this building. It just keeps moving. And we continue to carry on that legacy. But sometimes we have to change the way we do things because we just have to. And sometimes we're challenged. And that's the hardest thing. Part of my career when I was doing chaplaincy work was to work with an AA group, an Alcoholics Anonymous group. And there is that 12-step program. And the thing that intrigues me about that, first of all, you have to acknowledge a higher power, however you understand a higher power. The second piece is that even though you finish, sometimes you have to go back and do it again and go through the steps again. I do that in my faith journey. Constantly being challenged, have to rethink. Go back and think, why did I say yes to this? Why did I do this? Why did I do this? It's about going through the motions again. Why did I say yes when I knelt on those steps and got ordained? Sometimes I think, how stupid were you? And other times I think, I am honored to do what I do. So you never know until you take that step. And it takes faith, like Peter, to step out of the boat. It takes faith to just move forward and look at things with a different viewpoint, different lens, so to speak. So I think what this story today is telling us, yes, God is present and will catch us, but also God is asking us to take that risk if need be, and that God will walk with us through it. I always say when I read the 23rd Psalm that there's that phrase of like walking through the valley of the shadow. And that phrase says that God walks with us through this dark time of our life. Doesn't stop in the middle, but walks with us through the valley. So God's calling us to maybe take a walk on the wild side. Amen. Our affirmation of faith today is an adapted from Paul's letter to the church at Colossae in the book of Colossians, first chapter, these verses 15 through 20. I'm going to ask those who are able to please stand as we affirm our faith and stay standing for our hymn, Jesus Calls Us or the Tumult. We affirm our faith together saying, Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for in Christ all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or authorities, all things were created through Christ and for Christ. Christ is above all things, and in Christ all things hold together. Christ is the head of the body, the church. Christ is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything Christ might be preeminent. For in Christ the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Christ all things are reconciled to God, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of Christ's cross. Amen. You may be seated. If you didn't keep up with me in my sermon, the notes are in that hymn. All the words reiterated, just in a different way. As we come to God in prayer this day, are there joys and or concerns to be brought forth to this gathered community this morning? Okay. As always in the bulletin, there's the prayer list. There's the homebound of the week to make sure you write a note to birthdays and anniversaries we pray for. We have two sister churches, St. John's and Bellevue, where my friend Alan Fluent is the interim pastor, and ourselves here at St. John's UCC in Newport. So the other churches, sister churches that are gathering today for worship are praying for us as well. There's always the situations throughout the world and those other things that are listed there. There's always those things that lay upon our hearts and our minds that we don't always voice aloud. I usually say that quite a lot, but I think as human beings, we sometimes don't talk about what we feel. We don't share that, but we need to remember that we are praying for everybody, not only in this space, but also who are connected to us in any way, shape, or form, family, friends, members, it doesn't make any difference. We tend to pray for all kinds of people. But I did remember, now that I'm rambling, when I came in, our one greeter today was Mr. Tom down there. You paying attention? And I said, what happened to the back of your head? He's got stitches back here. He fell and cracked his head and had to go get stitches put in. I asked if you were okay. I can't tell, but I mean, you know, you must have a hard head is what just came to me, which is why I had to bring it out. Okay. Did it make you nicer? I don't know. I mean, I'm sorry. That just sort of flowed in the back of my brain and had to come out. But seriously, we are lifting people all the time, whether we know them or whether we don't, or whether they're part of our group or not. That's part of being faithful people, is to pray and to envelop folks. And so when we do that, you know, we have to be settled. And so we do that way. We do that breathing exercise. So I'm going to ask you to take a deep breath and then let it go. And breathe in God. And breathe out. And breathe in. And breathe out. And breathe in. Oh God, we have gathered together this day to worship you and to thank you for the week that has happened and preparing us for the week that will be. And we come because we know each other and we recognize one another. And we smile and we shake hands and do a pat on the back. And we come because this is where we are comfortable. We come before you in prayer, O God, to offer to you those feelings that we have. We don't voice aloud. Inadequacy, discouragement, indecision, pain we don't want to talk about with others, whether that's physical, mental, or spiritual. And so we pray your presence to come to us. And so when we call out, and when we move, as we heard today, Jesus says, come. Even though Peter failed, Jesus still reached out. So, oh God, we try. We try in our life to do the things that you would want us to do and to be and to share the best of ourselves with others. And we do it even though we might be tired and weary. But when we're together, we are strong. Because this is community. And we pray your Spirit to continue to move among us, to bid us to maybe step out of our comfort zone, to have our faith tested maybe just a little bit this week, but also knowing that maybe if we make that step, we will still find you in that place. So today we remember and pray for those who might be in what we, since we're keeping the analogy of the water in the depths, who might feel that they are floundering. There are those who are grieving the loss of someone, whether it is in death or it is in moving or it is in changing of jobs or just changing of neighborhoods. We especially pray for all of us as we continue making decisions in our lives, whether that is about relationships or about retirement or moving forward or deciding what to do this week. That you're constantly here and with us. So in this time together, when we've slowed down and we've settled, we pray your Spirit to move among us, to touch us, to redirect us, to allow us to know that we are God's people. But God, most of all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. And so we have gathered in his name and offer this prayer with the prayer he has taught us, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever.
Amen.
Our spiritual ancestors followed specific instructions for their offerings. A tithe belonged to God, and sacrifices were expected. Perhaps it is our casual commitment that creates doubts and desperation within and among us. What would happen if all of us were to give in proportion to what we have received with joy and deepest gratitude? The ushers may come forward.
With your spirit, renew us from within. Nothing matters, nothing's gained without your holy presence. Our lives are lived in vain. Lord, we want to know you. Live our lives to show you all the love we owe you. We're seekers.
You saw the need.
Because you gave so freely. Because of Calvary. We can now.
Seekers of
Loving God, may these gifts
be used for your work, uplifting the spirits of those who are feeling well, those who feel like no one cares. Use them to ease the burden of those who are being held down and held back, and who do not trust the rich and abundant life of your realm. As we offer our gifts, we offer ourselves to you. Amen.
For those of you who go out this way, I want you to put your name on that list that you're going to come and eat with me on the last Sunday in August. Please show up so I can brag to the other ministers, I have a congregation. We were challenged today. Do we understand God's presence in every aspect of our lives? We say it, but do you really understand it when you're in that really hard spot? Do you recognize that maybe God put you there to make the right decision? If God is in every aspect of our lives, God does that too. But share the good news with others of how God is in your life with those who need to hear it. Invite them to church. If they're not attending someplace else, join with us in this community. Until we meet again, let us go in the name of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Let us go in peace. Amen.